भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 7, text 14. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Lord Sri Krishna says, this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of nature, of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are parts of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabaddha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayang tu prakritin vidyan, mainam tu maheshwaram. Although maya is illusion, is false or temporary, the background of maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. From Shveta Ashvatara Upanishad. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly bound by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, or His bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service, or Krishna consciousness, can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of His causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of His paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajoguna, passion, and Tamoguna, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya, therefore He alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, again, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, confirm this in the phrase, Tameva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Nasangshayaha. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Devi hi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Om Agyana Tirandhasya Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtham Manamapi Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuri Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Andeham Shri Guru Shri Yathaf Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangstha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are studying Bhagavad Gita here today. Among the many gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave to the world was a revival or a new wave of interest in studying Bhagavad Gita. So, as I was chanting the verse, many of you chanted along with me the verse. This is a well-known verse of Bhagavad Gita among the followers of Srila Prabhupada. He often quoted this verse. It's an important verse. Of course, all the verses are important, but in Bhagavad Gita, some verses particularly establish principles, and other verses, they more elaborate on the principles. So this is one of the verses that establishes the principles. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, similar things are said by Lord Krishna, but here, very clearly, the important principle is established that Maya, or the external energy of Krishna, it's also an energy of Krishna, is very difficult to overcome, and at the same time it's very easy to overcome if we accept the principle of surrendering to Krishna. And many devotees have learned this verse. Which is good. But to accept the purport of Bhagavad Gita, of this verse, it takes great courage. Arjuna was a kshatriya. So to be a kshatriya, you have to have a lot of courage. If a gang of people come to attack, if a gang of people or a pack of dogs come to attack, only a brave person will try to repel them. If a bunch of people come with sticks and knives, Who will want to stand and face them? It takes a very brave person. Kshatriya means one who protects from hurt. None of us wants to get hurt, but a Kshatriya risks getting hurt to protect others from getting hurt. It's painful. It's not pleasant having your body beaten by sticks or stabbed with knives or pierced with arrows. So it takes great courage to fight. Similarly, it takes great courage to accept the message of Bhagavad Gita, to surrender to Maya seems easier. Just like we might be under the in the history of the world, especially in this Kali Yuga, there are many despots. Despot means a demoniac ruler, or one who rules simply by decree. Whatever he says, everyone has to follow. If he says, cut off this person's head, you just happen to be sitting there. It's all right, I'm not a despot. This is a theoretical example. I don't want my disciples to think, we have to do what Guru Maharaj says. It's all right, relax. We're not going to cut off your head. Just a theoretical example. So, if the despot says, cut off your head, there's no appeal. There's no system of law. It's just, someone will do it. And you may say, well, why should you follow the rule of such a wicked person? Why should you do what he says? Why do people go along with it? Well, they go along with it because they find it easier to do so. Even though they're not happy or they're not comfortable, they think it's... As there was a saying in Britain where this particular miserable body was... that this particular miserable Atma is sitting in was born. So there was a saying, better to be red than dead. I'll explain this for you. Red means communist. So there was always the fear that someday we're going to get a gift from Russia, namely some nuclear bombs on our head. And to counteract the threat, Britain also had and still has nuclear weapons. But they thought, some people were thinking, well, if Russia sends the nuclear bombs and we send the nuclear bombs, they'll win anyway. So, and we'll all be dead, so better we just surrender to them. Denmark, one Danish politician, he recommended disbanding the whole Danish army and just keeping 10 crowns or whatever that is, $5 or whatever, for a telegram to Moscow saying, we surrender. The idea is that we don't want to be under communist rule, but it's better to be under their rule than dead. So people will accept what a nasty ruler does, rather than suffer his punishment, such as imprisonment, torture, or death. So the idea is that under such a nasty ruler, life is not pleasant, but it could be, if you don't cooperate with him, it's even worse. And the situation in Maya is similar to that. That Maya gives us many kicks. But if we're asked to surrender to Krishna, we think, oh no, if I have to leave Maya, then people won't like it. They'll talk badly of me. Avatya vadang chabahun. They'll say all nasty things. Why did you leave Maya? Why did you leave the battle? They'll say all nasty things. And Maya, at the same time she's kicking us, she's smiling at us. And saying, oh, I'm so nice. You're so happy, aren't you? Well, she's kicking us. It's like a beautiful woman is kissing you and at the same time stabbing you. So, everyone please turn off your cell phones. Everyone please turn off. We usually have to say it 3 or 4 times, so I'll just say it now. Everyone please turn off your cell phones. Everyone please turn off your cell phones. Everyone please turn off your cell phones. If anyone comes in, tell them to turn off their cell phone. Okay. So Maya's like that. It's painful. Life in the material world is painful. But if we think, well, you see, people don't bother because we don't beat them. We should beat them. Then they won't do it. That's how things work. If you're tolerant, then people take advantage. Because we beat them, then they wouldn't come, and then they wouldn't hear Bhagavad Gita, and then they wouldn't get any benefit. So, Maya beats us all the time. We suffer. The beatings of Maya. But it might seem pleasant. Or we're told it's pleasant. Actually, it's not that it's actually pleasant, but we're told it's pleasant. We're told that it's pleasant and you ought to enjoy yourself. This is called Shruti Sukha. Prahlad Maharaj describes Shruti Sukha, that which is heard of as pleasant. Just like, for instance, in the modern world, we are told that if you study hard at school and college, then you can get a good job in which you can work long hours with lots of nasty people who smile at you, and you get paid a lot, and it's good, it's nice, and happy. And you can have a cell phone, which goes off all the time, and you can have a car to drive to work and drive back and get stuck in the traffic jam. There's no time to go anywhere else. And you can have a big apartment, which you don't have any time to be in, so your wife's enjoying with her boyfriend there, because you're not there, so she's taking advantage of someone else. And this is happy. This is happy life. And everyone says, no one's happy. But it's advertised like that, that this is good. This is a very good life. Now you are successful. But actually no one's happy. But if we say this and say, well, why don't you come out and dedicate your life to Krishna? And people think it's a horrible idea. Oh, but then I won't be happy. They're not happy, but they think they should be happy. And everyone else says that, well, we should be happy like this. I'm doing well. I'm earning 50,000 rupees a month. Doing well. Doing very well. You see, maybe I'll get a promotion, or maybe I'll get thrown out of the job. That's also possible. I have to get my security, you see. It's all a big bluff. It's been going on since time immemorial. We shall be happy in the material world. It's a big bluff. Everyone's bluffing everyone else. You will be happy. Go to the heavenly planets. You will be happy. Go to the... Why bother doing all this punya? Why go to the heavenly planet? Just go to the pub. Now they have pubs in Bangalore. What do you want to go to Swarga Loka for? Just go to the pub. You can be happy at the pub. No one's happy. No one believes this. When we say this, no one believes it. No one wants to surrender to Krishna. Why should anyone want to surrender to Krishna when there's so much happiness in the material world? And of course you have to die. When you get die, you get born again. You never know, you might get born in a rich family. Good chance. Of course you might get born as a worm in stool also. But, you know, always be hopeful. Be positive thinking. This idea, there was one book written that you just imagine the clouds are in the sky and just by your willpower you make them vanish. And you concentrate and they go away. And there's this whole idea in the Western world that if you just desire something enough, you'll get it. So if you just wake up every morning and you think, I want to have $1 billion, then one day you'll get it. But it doesn't work. It's all an illusion. But people don't believe it. They don't believe in surrendering to Krishna. Krishna, some idea, Krishna. Yeah, Krishna, but the real world is here. That's what people, even people who are supposedly have faith in Krishna. The real world, this is, you can talk about Krishna, it's alright for you sadhus. You're just parasites. You're cheating people and taking their money. But the real world, you see, this is the real world. I'm doing something. You see, I'm doing something practical. I'm working in a factory making rubber ducks that people can play with. So I'm doing something practical and useful for the world. We're making bridges so people can drive on their cars and go here and there and eat, sleep, mate and defend in different places and produce ball bearings, and so that you can produce ball bearings in one place and send them to somewhere else so you can put them in your machine and the machine can do something else. And this way, this is called Jagat. Yogachati iti Jagat. The world is going on. The world is running on the belief that this is real. This is real life. This is happy life. Everything here is good. I mean, okay, there are a few problems, but you know, we're working on it. Things are getting better, isn't it? Everything's getting better in India. You see, we used to be a poverty-stricken nation, but now we're a big industrial nation. And tomatoes cost how much? 60 rupees a kilo, and we're making progress. People can't afford to eat vegetables, but never mind, we'll give you a free TV. In Tamil Nadu, they give free TVs. And the government party has its own TV channel. So they make propaganda like this. No food to eat, but you can get a TV and a blackberry and a blueberry and a raspberry or whatever. You can get it. It's cheap. It doesn't cost much. You can have a car to sit in the traffic jam. No food to eat, but plenty. So India's making progress, you see, and we're developing the nation. So all this idea, this very hopeful, that everything will be good. Everything will be better. Don't worry, there are problems now, but we're working on it. This is called Durasha. Durasha ye bahirartha manina. The idea that this external world is reality. It's a bad hope. It's a wrong hope. It's not a fact. But people cannot see this. Therefore, they do not have faith in the principle of surrendering to Krishna. Ashada dhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mangde vartante mrityu sansara vartmane. People who don't have faith in Krishna, they don't remain steady on the path of devotional service, but they return to repeated birth and death. That faith is required. Mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. One can, if one surrenders to Krishna, one can cross over maya. But We don't have faith in this principle. We don't want to surrender to Krishna. Because we think, well, if I surrender to Krishna, then I have to give up so many things. I mean, what to speak of full surrender, giving up all material desires, if we just ask people to do some in Krishna consciousness, if we're actually going to practice sadhana bhakti, there are certain basic principles which many of our so-called devotees don't follow. Like, for instance, Sunday they come to the temple and during the week they watch some, so I don't know what, some nonsense, whatever it is, on TV. Watching TV is okay. And eating in kami restaurants and buying some chocolates and giving it to your kids and buying some biscuits, it's all okay. Because Krishna is very merciful, they say. Or we just get a blessing from the guru, or the holy name is everything, so you don't have to follow anything else. This is the perversion of the philosophy, taking it very cheaply. But Krishna says, Ma meva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Who surrenders to me, they can cross over maya. Now, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the process easy by offering the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. But that doesn't mean that the Bhagavad Gita is now retired. The Bhagavad Gita it has no meaning anymore. That means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an easy process to help us come to the point of surrender to Krishna. It doesn't mean that we don't have to surrender to Krishna. And then love beyond surrender. By chanting Hare Krishna in the neophyte stage, in the advanced stage, that chanting should go on. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to follow anything more, or we don't have to surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means what is this? Mameva ye prapadyante, those who surrender to me. Prabhupada always translates this. Surrender to me. Mame kam sharanam raja. Those who take shelter in me. Srila Prabhupada always translates this as surrender, which again he links with the term sharanagati. The process of taking shelter. So it's not just a feeling. Now I feel that I love Krishna. But there's a process. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. In practical life, that we have to accept what is favorable for developing love of Krishna. And that includes many principles. We have to reject those things which inhibit our growth in devotional life. Now, to do those things, as I said, it requires courage. Because if we start to do these things, then many people will say, no, this is too much. You can be a devotee. They will give their sanction. You can be a devotee of Krishna, but not too much. You go to the temple once a week, but don't follow. They will tell you. Rupa Goswami won't tell you. Prabhupada won't tell you, but your mother will tell you. Or your wife will tell you that you do this much, not that much. So we accept that the Narottanda says, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Shemora Shampada, the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, that is my wealth, that is my bhajan, that is my puja, but we accept what my mother or what my wife says or what my friend or neighbor says, what they say. Don't do bhakti too much. It's all right. People say, it's all right. Don't worry. Mashu chaha, they will say. Don't worry. It's all right. You can do all these things. You can follow not strictly. You just do whatever you like. Get up whatever time you like. Do a little chanting, little this and that. And don't be too serious. Don't worry. It will be all right. They're giving assurance. But Krishna gives assurance, Ma me kam sharanam raja. Then he says, Ma shuchaha. You don't worry, Krishna says everything will be alright. But these rascals, they say, you don't surrender to Krishna, then everything will be alright. Don't worry. They're reinterpreting, misinterpreting. What Krishna says, it's not such an easy thing. Surrender to me. Because there are two sides. One side is Maya and the other side is Krishna consciousness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhaka. Jahan Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. One side there is light, the other side there is darkness. In the same way, just where there, when there's sunlight, there's daytime. When there's no sunlight, it's night. So in the same way, there's Krishna consciousness and there's Maya. But there is also the Sandhya, where it's not quite light and not quite dark. That's not daytime, and it's not darkness also. It's in between. But that is not being in the light. But if we think, let me live in the twilight zone, there's an English saying, in the twilight zone, it means vague, not very defined, not very clear. I'll be a little bit a devotee and a little bit not a devotee. And whatever the minimum, if we have this attitude that, see, whatever, it's all right. You see, I can get up whatever time I like. I don't have to follow very strictly. But what is the minimum that is required so that I can get prem? What's the minimum? Instead of thinking, prem means to think, how I can give everything to Krishna with holding nothing back. But we're thinking, I want to enjoy all these material things and at the same time have prem. Which means that we also want to, we haven't understood or we haven't accepted what is the principle of prem, which is to fully give oneself to Krishna. But rather we're thinking, let me enjoy that prem, and then when I've enjoyed, when I've had enough prem for the time being, I'll get some kami biscuits and enjoy that. A lot of difference between eating kami biscuits and having love of Krishna. Lot of difference. The two things don't go together. No, it's not going to mix. You may think, well, what's the harm? A little biscuit. But Krishna says, you may say, what's the harm? But Krishna says, patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadahang bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatama. Offer me, those who offer me with bhakti, some simple food. So there's no bhakti in eating something which is cooked by someone who doesn't like, they're just doing it for some job. The biscuit is cooked by, it's made by some company to get your money. They don't care for your health, they just want your money. The person in the job hates their job. They don't want to work in some biscuit factory. They're just doing it because they're paid to do it. There's no love, there's no affection, there's no good feeling, there's no care. It's just a business and we like it. We don't like Krishna. We don't like Krishna enough to do what he says and just take food offered to him only. And at the same time we're talking of praying. This is hypocritical. Just hypocritical. That we don't want to surrender to Krishna, but we want to hear about the pastimes of Radharani and talk about all nice stories about Krishna, but we don't want to follow even the basic things. It's simply hypocritical. It's not what Krishna came to teach. It's not what any of the acharyas came to teach, but we like it. This becomes the measure. What I like becomes the measure of my life. But then that's not Krishna consciousness. And the whole, to have a guru, it becomes meaningless if we think, I will do what I like. I will find out a guru who does, let me find a guru who lets me do what I like. This is nonsense. Then what's the meaning of having a guru? Better you find a guru, whatever you don't like to do, that's what he tells you to do. Better. Of course, that should lead to Krishna. But that's what it means. If we're going to surrender to Krishna, it means giving up our material attachments. It's a very heavy thing. That's why we don't like to hear about it. It's very heavy because it's like this Datta Karna. He's famous for how could you give up that which is stuck, that kavacha, that armor is stuck to his body. To rip it off, it's painful. So we find it painful to give up our material attachments because we think it's me. I am this person. And all these desires, they are me. But actually, it's not painful to give up material attachments. We perceive it as such because we don't hear Bhagavad Gita. If we hear Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand that we are not the body. And we're not the mind. We are pure spirit soul. Indriyani praniya ur indriyebhya parang manaha. Manasas tu para buddhe, yo buddhe paratas tu saha. There's the senses, the mind and intelligence, and above them is what? Is what? What do you think? Well, which way do you want to take it? Saha. Above this is he. Well, it could mean karma. Can mean material desire. Material desire is... It's taken, what is this? This indriyani manobuddhi asya adhishtanam uchyate. If the karma has entered the mind, body, the senses, mind and intelligence, then we think that these material desires are me. And then it becomes very painful, like ripping your skin off. But if we understand, I am the Atma, I am transcendental too. I have nothing to do with this material senses, mind, body, or the material desires. It's not that it becomes easy, but automatically we just don't identify. It's nothing to do with me. It's nothing. It's all a big phantasmagoria. All this. Wife, friend, children, home, country, it's not real. Real is that I am a servant of Krishna. Of course, this has to be understood very carefully because there is a temporal reality. It's not that we just say, well, nothing's real, therefore... I took this loan for 20 lakhs and now I'm just going to tell the bank, well, it's not real. So, it's all Maya. So, I'm not going to give it to you. And they'll say, okay, very good. So, here's some unreal handcuffs which are going on your unreal hands. And they're going to take you to the unreal prison. So, you can sit in your prison cell and meditate how it's not all real. So... some level of reality but is there. But in the sense of eternity, which Krishna tells Arjuna, we have no actual relationship with this world. We find that very painful because we are attached to this world. But it's not painful when we understand. I have no real attachment to it. My real attachment is with Krishna. But how attached we are to this world. Therefore, how much we have to hear again and again, we don't belong to this world. We have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter whether India wins the test match or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether India, their sportsmen win any gold medals or not. It doesn't matter. You are not Indian. We're not anything to do with this world. We belong to Krishna. It's difficult. It seems difficult to understand. It seems real, doesn't it, that you're all Indians? Seems real. Well, that's why Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, to tell us what is actually real. It's real in one sense. It's real like this. Did you catch that? Can you catch that sound? When I make that sound, it's here then gone. Is that sound? Where is that sound? So where is it? So is it real? Is that sound real? You could say it was real. It's not there now. So where's your life? Just like that. If Lord Brahma goes like that, that's 20 lives of ours. Each life working hard, getting a job, becoming a success. And meanwhile, Lord Brahma sneezes. And 20 lifetimes, gone. Okay. Listen carefully. It wasn't a very loud one. Try again. Okay, while it's there, you can hear it. But then it just stops very briefly. Now, what if you get a pain, get a toothache? It goes on. Who's had toothache, severe toothache? Anyone, please raise your hand. No one? No one had a toothache. Oh, you're all lucky people. I thought that was a common one. So, malaria, who had malaria? What about the ladies? Now, when they're giving birth, that's supposed to be very painful, right? But nowadays they give them anesthetic. Kidney stones? Painful. Extremely painful. I've had kidney stones, and malaria, and toothache, all the things. So while you have the kidney stone, you can't really think about anything else. It's extremely painful. It's like completely overcomes your whole thinking process, your whole consciousness. All you're aware of is this terrible pain. It's the same, you get a severe toothache. You're just completely overwhelmed. It's difficult to think about anything. Just extremely painful. Did you think about your kidney stone today until I mentioned that? No, but before I said that today, did you think about your stone problem? How long ago did you have it? And you may have it more than once. People, some 1 year ago. Did you think about it at all today? No, not until I mentioned it. So at the time you had it, it was like it had taken over your reality, right? It was so painful. But now you forgot it, and it's just a memory. It's not, at that time it was intense reality. And right now, you can't even remember. Maybe after 20 years, I hope you don't get another kidney stone. People often get it more than once. But then you just forget it. And you can hardly even remember. You don't even think about it. So practically for you, it's not real. And it's just a memory. So like that, our whole life, it's just something which we experience now and it seems real, but then it's gone. Who knows which lives we had before? Maybe you or I, not maybe, quite likely, we were a cat or a dog or a fish, just as we're coming, we see in the bazaar, people cutting up the fish. Horrible. They like to eat fish. Oof. So, you're a fish, a bug, a worm in stool, a Brahma. And when I was a worm in stool, I must have been thinking that, this is it. This is all reality. There's this stool. It's wonderful. And, everything's here. I live here. I eat here. I have my wife and girlfriend and babies, and life's just wonderful. It's bliss in this beautiful stool. And we're thinking like, and that's our total reality. At that time, we can't think about building a factory, what kind of university degree I'm going to try and get. It's just not in our consciousness. There's just stool, and that's it. It's stool consciousness. And that's the whole of our consciousness. So right now, we have our consciousness that I am a successful, up-and-coming, corporate player, or I'm an auto rickshaw driver, and this is my busty I live in, and there's my wife, there's my children, there's my neighbors, and driving around, and smoking, and this is reality. And then we die. And we forget it all. And is it reality? You can maybe get an astrologer to tell you what you were in your last life. I'll tell you what the astrologer will tell you. They'll tell you you were a king. They always tell you you were a king. You're a very important person. They never tell you you were just like some, you know. You were a fisherman, probably, you know, poor, living in a village. They never tell you. They never ever tell you anything like that. Everyone was a king or a very famous person or something like that. So you can look in your life, but what's the meaning? What's the meaning? It's gone, it's forgotten. Even if you were a king in your last life, it's not going to help you. If you go, you have a 20 lakh debt and you say, well, you know, I was a king in my last life, so you should just let it go. So forget it. You have to hear your, this is reality here now. Then you die. Oh, I got free from my 20 lakh debt. So good. And then you get born again. And then you have some other problem. This is, we learn. We should learn from Bhagavad Gita. This is not real. This is not our actual situation. There is Krishna. My actual relationship is with Krishna. This is eternal. This doesn't change. Krishna doesn't change. It's not that Krishna was God, and then he died, and now Sai Baba's God. That's not true. Sai Baba's a rascal. Krishna's God. We hope Sai Baba gets better mentality. He doesn't have much time. The local Sai Baba. Of course, there's a few Sai Babas here and there. It doesn't look like he's going to change his mind. He doesn't have much time left. We wish him all the best. But, you know, he looks like he's heading for a very, very black future. Whereas Krishna, he's always blissful and happy and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is never going to change. Our situation changes. Aaj ka raja kal ka kutta. That's the fact. That's the fact. Today's, someone's asking, you don't understand Hindi. Today's king is tomorrow's dog. That's a fact. That's the way the material world is. But Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are his eternal servants. That is reality. Just try to understand this simple point. If we don't surrender to Krishna, we become a Raja and a Kutta and a Kita and a Krimi and everything else. 8,400,000 species, 84 lakh species of life. And every time we think, this is real, this is real, this is real. Reality is Krishna. But we have to surrender to Krishna. And it doesn't work by half measures. There is light and there is darkness. There's Krishna consciousness and there's Maya. And we can't mess around and try to trick or play games with Krishna. Krishna knows everything. We actually have to surrender to him. And like I said, it seems much easier to surrender to anyone else except Krishna. Just like we surrender to, we rather surrender to the despot, or if you are at your work, if there's some nasty boss, you just surrender to him because you think, well, I have to because he's giving me money, so he shouts at me and this and that. And among the workers, they all make jokes about him, but when he's there, yes sir, because they have to follow what he says. So we don't see Krishna. We don't believe in Krishna. We see our boss. We see our wife. We see the bills coming in. And we think, this is real. I have to surrender to this. But that's not real. It seems real. It seems easier to go along with that. That's why we accept spiritual guidance. In the modern world, there's all these bogus people, if you didn't notice. Most people don't notice. These so-called spiritual leaders. Their so-called spiritual leadership is how to feel a little peaceful while you're being beaten by the whip of Maya. This, like this art of living nonsense. That you feel kind of nice while you're being beaten by Maya. Now, the art of living in this ritual, what is the art of living? It's get out of this nasty place. But they try to tell you how you can feel happy and adjust and get ahead in this material. What get ahead? Get ahead means you become a worm in stool, that's all. All these big corporate leaders, what are they? They're just big worms in stool, that's all. The stool of their corporate imagination. And people think, oh, they're very important. This is just like the worms in stool. This is a very big worm in stool, or very important. So we think this is a big businessman, big politician. They're just like big worms in stool. They have no more significance. In the this position, this so-called position has no more significance than that of a worm in stool. But it seems real to us. Why? Because daivihi esha gunamai. This maya is very strong. And it makes that which is of no actual reality seem real. Therefore, Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita and establishes Matav parataram nanyat. No one is superior to me. Bill Gates is not superior to Krishna. Manmohan Singh is not superior to Krishna. Sachin Tendulkar is not superior to Krishna. They're all just like this, coming and going, just in a snap. During that snap, someone is a big worm in stool. Someone is the small worms in stool are all doing salam to the big worms in stool. So this is going on in human society also. But Krishna is not a worm in stool. Krishna is the beautiful, powerful, well-wishing, supreme personality of Godhead. If we jare joicha ekale ishara Krishna ar shabha vritta jara joicha nache tare toiche karendrita. Krishna is the supreme controller. We are all his servants. Everyone else is his servant. As he makes us dance, so we must dance. So if we just agree to dance according to the way Krishna dances, that is our actual life. And if we don't, then we have to dance on the stage of Maya. And it seems easy. It seems easy because we don't have faith in the spiritual reality of Krishna. We have faith. I believe in my mother because... Why? Why? Why do you believe your mother? Why should you believe? You have to get a good job and work hard and be a success. Oh, your mother said so. Why? Why do you? How many mothers have you had? Prati janme janme shabe mata pita pai. In every birth you get a mother and a father. Why should you take guidance from them? If they themselves are just living like worms in stool, just interested, where is food? Where is some food? Where is some money? Where is some sex? Oh, my poor boy. He didn't have enough sex life. That's all his problem. Then why should you take guidance? Therefore, tasmād gurum prapadyat. What is the system? Mām eva ye prapadyante. Surrender to me, Krishna says. How tasmād gurum prapadyata? Jignyasu shreya uttamam. These words, how many times Prabhupada said that? Therefore, having seen that this material world is miserable, you should go to a guru. Not go to a guru, tell me how to live very happily in this material world. Go to a guru, tell me how I can cheat Krishna and pretend to be a devotee while actually being a first-class materialist. This is not why we go to a guru. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. To ask, what is the ultimate benefit? We should be prepared to hear that. But if we want to go and just hear, the guru should tell me what I want to hear. And I already know everything, so I'll take a guru who will tell me what I like to hear. Then this is all useless, waste of time. So, yeah, Maya is difficult to overcome, but it can be overcome. We have to surrender to Krishna. That means no Maya. Krishna consciousness means no Maya, nothing left. It's not going to happen overnight. We understand that it's not easy to give up material attachments, but we have to follow the process by which we can become purified. And that process means we have to take it very seriously. What is required to do? Every step. Rupa Goswami, he wrote so many books. This Ujjvala Nilamani, describing the intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna. Dana Keli Komudi, Hamsa Dutta, describing all the intimate leelas. Rupa Nuga, those who are in the Gauriya Sampradaya, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are called followers of Rupa Goswami. Follow from the beginning. This Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That what we have to do in devotional service, follow everything. What is required. Then we can cross over Maya. Not by imagination, not by slackness. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Arjuna, he was not a lazy person. Arjuna, he was proposing to be a lazy person. By nature he was not lazy, he was a kshatriya. But then he proposed to be lazy. Let me go away and leave the battle. Leave it all. Whimsical, lackadaisical. Krishna didn't allow him. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna because he knows Arjuna has some strength. Physical strength, mental strength, and the courage to say to Krishna, Karishye Vachanam Tava, I will act according to your order. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, okay, now I'm going to tell you some Ras Leela. He didn't tell him. He wanted first, you Arjuna, you hear what I have to say and decide. You want to follow or not? That was the whole point. Does Arjuna want to follow what Krishna says? Krishna didn't ask Arjuna, you just put on some tilak and say, now you call yourself my devotee. As Prabhupada often said, Krishna never said to Arjuna, you just go to sleep on this chariot and I'll do everything for you. No, he wanted Arjuna to act according to his direction. So that we have to do. Then we can cross beyond Maya. So it sounds easy, and it is easy, but it may seem painful. We have to be prepared to accept that. We can't be materially attached and be devotees. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Any question about this, please? Question, comment, or protest? Yes. Materially well-to-do. You mean they have some tin can car, for instance? Some plastic jewelry, maybe even a gold bangle or two. Previously in India, and even in the villages, the poor people had more jewelry than the people, the so-called rich people today. The well-to-do people. How to convince them that they're actually suffering? First you be convinced. First you be convinced. How to convince them? It may not be so easy. Dana Durmadandhan. This is mentioned in Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam. People who have wealth, they're generally blinded by that. They're puffed up. Dana Durmadandhan. That word is there. There are so many others. This Dinere Adhigdoya Kore Bhagavan. Kulin Pandit Dhani Bara Abhiman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Bhagavan is especially merciful to the Dina, which means those who are not, in this context it means people who are not highly respected in society. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said Kulin, those who are from of aristocratic birth. Pandits, big scholars, and dhani, materially well-to-do. Bara Abhiman. They're generally very proud. So, anyway, our preaching is for everyone. Why the very materially well-to-do? Everyone's suffering in Maya. So why are you especially concerned about them? You came across people. There are so many people in the world, so-called materially well-to-do, poor, rich, so-called educated, uneducated. Everyone's in Maya. They all need Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Living in the material world means what? Having a job? Leaving the material world. Yes, you have to leave the material world. Yeah. You have to go to Krishna in the spiritual world. You have to leave your job, family, everything. Sooner or later you have to leave it, right? Even if you think I will stay, it's like that. Ultimately, we have to leave it. If we're in the consciousness of I have to serve Krishna, then when we leave this body, we go to Krishna. If we're not in the consciousness of serving Krishna, then we have to get another job. We have to get born again. How to interpret nishkam karma? Work in the material world without desires. How do you interpret that? Yeah, do everything for Krishna. Dedicate your life to Krishna. Actually, you should just leave everything and completely surrender to Krishna immediately. But you won't do that. And I wouldn't recommend it for you anyway, because you're not ready for that. Is one thing. And another thing is, even if you were ready for it, other people might take that as a bad example. They'd take that as an opportunity to be irresponsible. Ramanuja left his wife. But then look what he did. He didn't just leave his wife and go around begging a few chapatis and living an insignificant existence. But what he did by leaving his wife, that you can see even today, his influence is there. There are different roles for different people. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives the example of Janak Maharaj, who lived in the world as an ideal devotee. He left that eventually. Everyone has to leave. Even if you think, I will stay in my job, you can't stay forever. That you should know. Whether or not you should leave it tomorrow, that's another question. But the point is that we should all know that we don't belong here, we belong to Krishna. That is the point. We should perform sadhana bhakti. But we should hear this also. Those of you who are working in your glorious job, you can go tomorrow. I'm not saying that you should all leave it. But you should hear these talks and know that one day you're going to have to leave it. And it will come sooner than you think. Everyone's thinking, I have this plan, that plan, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Very soon, life just finishes. So we have to prepare for that. We have to know that, okay, I'm in this world, I'm doing this job, I have this family, it's not going to last long. I have to do what in this life, whatever else nonsense I may be doing, but I have to prepare so that I don't get born again. That is the point of human life. Labdvasu durlabam, you should learn. If you want to learn a verse, learn this verse. This should be the key to everyone's life. This should be written. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had this written on the wall since his childhood. He would see this. Labdvasu durlabam idang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadhira. Turnam yateta napated anumritta yava nishriyasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Lord Krishna says that this human life is very rarely attained, but now you got it. So now that you have it, understanding that I'm not likely to get it again for a very long time, and understanding that I don't have much time. In the little time that I have in this favorable situation, I should do whatever is required so that I don't have to get born again. We don't have much time. It's a great opportunity, but you have to take it now. Just like they say, they make some special offer on December the 15th. Special offer only up to the end of the year. And then after that, special offer closed. So you don't have much time. So it's like we don't have much time. So do whatever is required so we don't have to get born again. And if you think, well, I could enjoy myself. Well, that's true. There are 84 lakh species of life. You can enjoy in all of them. But now in the human form, there is the opportunity to get free from all this. So we should do that. That should be the guide for our life. You should all print this out or write it up. Put it in your home. You can find this verse in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna says to Uddhava, do you want to find the verse number? Ask Vrindavan Chandra afterward. You can look it up. You can look it up right now. Yeah. Anyway, that's the general principle which everyone should adopt. The details are many. So I'll finish now. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please study Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Who's been distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is during the last month? Anyone? I heard your glories all the way in distant Bombay. Bhima told me. He was distributing books with you here. You and Shamasunda, right? Okay, so everyone should distribute this book and read it also. Not just for distributing. Distribute it to yourself. Study this book and understand. It's a very heavy message. But if we take it, just like for Arjuna, he had to make a heavy decision to follow Krishna or not to follow Krishna. We all have to make the same decision. So what's the verse number? Canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, text 28. 29. Labdvasu durlabhamidang bahu sambhavant. You can all print it out and see it every day. If you want, you can do something else also, just to put it into context. You can find out the average life expectancy of people in India and then calculate how many days you've got left, and every day you can cut one off. If I live another 20 years, if, then that's, let me see, 1,000 weeks. It's not much, if you put it like that. Not much time. Tick, 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 tick. It's going away. There's another verse. There's so many verses you can put up. Ayo harati vai pungsam. astan udyanta shayanaso tasyate yakshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. With every rising and setting of the sun, our lifespan is being cut, 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 cut. It's going away. Tick, 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 tick. Except those who engage their time in discussing topics of Krishna. Tick, 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 time is going on. Utore, utore, bhai. Artho shamai nai. Get up. There's no more time. Yeah, you want to present this? There are so many. If you study Shastri, you'll find so many things. Utishta, jagrata, prapya, varanne, bodhata. Kshurasya, dhara, nishita, duratyaya. What's the last line? Shiraja Dara Nishitadur. Durgang Patis Tat Kavayo Vadanti. Utishta, get up. Jagrata, wake up. Become aware what you can get in this human life. Become aware of that. The path of spiritual life is sharp like a razor. It's a difficult path, say the wise people. So you can study all these things. Prabhupada gave us all these books. You can study. You will be benefited.